Today, we'll find out if Ariana Grande is Illuminati confirmed. Did she really dabble with demons, Kabbalah, and MKUltra-style mind control? Or is she just another child star chewed up by the machine? Today, we're going to revisit the topic that got me torched back in 2018 for being a bad boy. And I'm going to push it even further. I'm pushing deeper, and I'm pushing harder than ever before. We're going to connect her family ties to the military-industrial complex, her Nickelodeon past, the Manchester incident, Kabbalah bracelets, demon stories, butterfly symbolism, and those bizarre missing years memory confessions. Is Ariana Grande an Illuminati witch or an abused pawn involved in something much darker? Join me today on Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture with your boy, the occult expert since 2011, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we're really going to test the new YouTube channel, all right? If you're not subscribed, please go to youtube.com/@occultsymbolism, all one word. Okay. Help me get to 100,000 subs. I want to roll with the big dogs. But today's going to be the test if they're really letting me back into their good graces, or if this is going to be the third channel to get the hot treatment. But today we're going to revisit a subject that that got my first channel banned back in the day. To really test the whole thing, okay? Back in 2014, I wrote up a piece on the IlluminatiWatcher.com blog about Ariana Grande. And I am going to unpack some of those details here today, elaborate and expand on them in things that have happened since then, which there's been a lot. And we're going to really take a good look at little Ariana Grande's easily my worst impression. I hate that one. It's terrible. I do it because she's nasally, right? She sounds really nasally to me. And I don't know, she gets a New York accent from me. I don't know. It needs a lot of work, okay? Now, to preface this whole conversation, we have to talk about the concept about artists being involved with the Illuminati, right? Is Ariana Grande in the Illuminati? That's what some people would lead you to believe. Or are they just used by the Illuminati? I'm more of the pawn theory. I think these artists are part of an agenda in the sense that they are stakeholders. They are just, you know, the Illuminati, right? It's the secret society that rules the world secretly, pushing us down a Luciferian one world order. And these artists are, they just want to be artists, man. I believe she's a theater nerd through and through. And I think a lot of these people, they just want to get paid for what they love to do. And they become more powerful at a certain point. But then the people that are really in power keep them in check. So I, you know, stick with me. We'll explain. So all you little Arianators, don't at me. This isn't an attack against her. Also, when will you wake up? All right, wake up. Let's start out with the family affairs of her family's connections to the military-industrial complex and Hollywood and all that stuff. We're going to start with the family because, you know, a lot of these child stars, they get roped into the Hollywood system. And my hot take is it's because the parents want to live through their kids, which is crazy, because then they set them up to hang out with these demons and vampires that want to do all kinds of awful things. And, you know, if you watch the Quiet on Set documentary, which we're going to talk about today, you could see how this happens. And you say, what the hell's wrong with these parents? Look, I don't have kids. I don't have that, whatever that happens, whatever that weird switch flips in people that they can't look at a child as like, look, I got to prepare this human for adulthood. And to be a responsible adult, instead they're like, I'm going to live through the kid. I'm going to be a famous Hollywood actress. Yeah, so I'm going to put them in dangerous positions where I'm not even around and unsupervised with these people that are literal, PEDOs. Careful language. Don't want to be a bad boy on the YouTube. Now, her mother, Joan Grande, she is the president of and CEO of Hose McCann Communications, which is a puzzle piece in the military-industrial complex. I'm going to read you from the Hose I got hose. I got hose.com website here. The system was adopted by the U.S. military. Talking about they make communication systems, and they're talking about their connections with the military, okay? Systems adopted by the U.S. military proved to be virtually indestructible. In 1994, one of the Hose McCann telephone systems was found aboard the World War II Liberty ship, the SS Brown, in perfect working order, implying that it was there for like 50 years, right? Chilling. The company was purchased by the Grande family in 1964 and eventually moved to Deerfield Beach, Florida, to be closer to the booming marine and shipbuilding industry. With the purchase of United Marine, Canada's premier communications specialist in 1999, Hose McCann became the world's first maritime communications superstore. As leaders in the marine industry, Hose McCann communication solutions are used by the U.S. and Canadian Coast Guards, the U.S. Navy, and by the world's leading maritime nations. So what do they do exactly? Well, I looked it up a little bit deeper. It's a smaller workforce. It's a private company. We don't know a ton about what's going on there, but their website tells us that they design, build, and support custom systems for marine vessels, military included, industrial plants, high-rise buildings, tunnels, transportation hubs, you know, schools, hospitals, prisons, you know, prison industrial complexes. Let's not forget about those guys. Defense and Homeland Security installations, right? So they're plugged in. And as far as I can tell, it's basically all about communication systems going back to the 1920s, specifically over the water. So the U.S. military, of course, interested in having them as a contractor. Now, is there something nefarious here? I mean, not as far as I can tell. There are countless, countless contractors that work for the U.S. military, which is a massive complex, right? We're talking $1 trillion a year. A giant chunk of our taxes go to pay for this. It's arguably a jobs program. And I don't know. I looked into it. I couldn't find anything that was like, oh, they were involved with this operation or something crazy. So I couldn't find a whole lot on that. But it is a private company. So, I mean, who knows, right? I'm not saying no. I'm just saying I don't know. Let's look at her brother now. He's another interesting part of her family. Frankie Grande was on Big Brother back in 2014 when Ariana was, you know, she was already popping back then. I did my whole article about her back then, so she was definitely on the radar. But people were saying that the whole production of Big Brother was catered to make sure Frankie looked good so Ariana looked good, you know, because she'd already been on Nickelodeon since 2010. And allegedly, Frankie is very involved in her career, and he's been seen as her handler as well, because every MKUltra victim's got a handler. He's been doing musicals since 2001, so, you know, before Ariana would get into any kind of theater, because both of them were really into this theater stuff, but he encouraged Ariana to get into it as well. All right. Frankie Grande also, I should have looked it up. I don't know if he's gay for sure. I assume he is. He seems very gay. If he's not, I'd be surprised. Which is probably where Ariana Grande gets her ally status with LGBTQ. Not that there's a problem with any of this at all, okay? Just to be crystal clear with you guys, I'm a big-time LGBT supporter. Not very commonplace to be found in the conspiracy circle. But that's just, I talk about everything. I leave no stone unturned. You decide what you want to do with that information. Now, Frankie and Ariana's mother, Joan Grande, so Frankie and Joan run a production company called Diamond Dog Entertainment as well. So you could see that they're very interested in this whole business side of show business, which leads me to believe that maybe she is one of these terrible parents. Maybe. I don't know her. But it seems like we've got enough warning stories about kids that get involved with acting too young and getting famous too young and it ruining their whole lives. You know, that's my judgment. I shall judge from my high horse, which takes us into her starting out with Nickelodeon and MK Ultra theories and so on. Okay. So Frankie's involved with musicals as far back as 2001. He talks Ariana into getting into musicals. She lands her first Broadway show in 2008. It was called 13. Ironically, also the number of the Witches in a Coven, you know, occult stuff. And when we're going to talk later on about Wicked, we'll talk about the actual witchcraft that she could be involved with. So she does this first Broadway. Then she gets signed with Nickelodeon in 2010 for a show called Victorious. Then a spinoff in 2013 called Sam and Cat. And she starts releasing her own music albums around this time. She starts acting in, later on, she starts acting in movies like Don't Look Up with my boy Leo. I did a whole show on the Netflix film Don't Look Up and the symbolism within that. Look, go back in the archives to on the podcast feed for that. Whatever month it came out, I don't know, 3 years ago. She would also star in Wicked, which I also did a film analysis for in December of 2024. Scroll back on the feed for that as well. And I'll put links in the show notes for a lot of the things I talk about today, by the way. But don't get it twisted. Ariana Grande is one of the most successful human beings to ever get involved with entertainment. One of the highest selling music artists of all time. She was the highest paid female musician in 2020. She's got all the awards, Grammys, Billboards, AMAs, MTV VMAs, the Guinness Book of World Records, number one albums, number one hits. And she's the sixth most followed person on all of Instagram. All right. So let's go back to my original point about how do we know if these artists are in the Illuminati or not? Well, I don't know if she is or not. But I do know when you reach that level of fame and power, you're very influential. All right. Could it be that the Illuminati, who want to create the Luciferian One World Order, would say, hey, this is one way we can really push our agenda is to go through this influential person. And that's what I believe in the theory of the Illuminati, is that they create this entertainment industry, they decide who can rise to the top, but the people that rise to the top have a debt to pay. All right. And I think they might have a say and get to choose what part of that debt they pay. Maybe for Ariana, they're like, hey, we want you to push a surveillance police state. And she's like, well, I don't really want to do that. And they're like, okay, what about pagan stuff? And she'd be like, okay, I'm down for that. I think they all have to do some kind of part to influence the younger generation to get involved in something. All right. Now, what's that something? Well, I lay out what that something is in my book, The Dark Path, available on Amazon, Audible, and signed paperbacks at occultsymbolism.com. I think I'm sold out. Now I got two copies left, but new ones are coming on the way. All right. So Ariana was notoriously absent from this Nickelodeon documentary expose called Quiet on Set. Quiet on Set, excuse me for my throat. The Quiet on Set documentary is all about highlighting the abuses of children at Nickelodeon Studios. I also did a two-part series on this documentary, breaking down the characters involved, Brian Peck, Dan Schneider, who was the nerd from, was it Better Off Dead? Drake Bell, Ariana Grande's, Leo DiCaprio, my boy, Brian Peck was his acting coach. And on the documentary, you didn't see from Ariana at all. She provided no input. But they did play clips of her that were very sus. Right? She's putting feet in her mouth, and we know that Dan Schneider is into feet. She's pouring water on herself in bed. Very sus. Then the documentary sort of switches gears to talk about Amanda Bynes as well, who's been going through a lot, as you can see. And she's also probably worthy of a whole deep dive because she's been pushing a lot of strange things into the public. But the scenes that Ariana was, I would argue, forced to do for these shows on Nickelodeon were referred to on the documentary as morally murky. Indeed. So, yeah, and check out the two-part series I did on that if you want to deep dive into Quiet on Set. Pretty crazy stuff on there. And then Brian Peck, of course, got in trouble for all of his stuff, and a lot of celebrities came out and wrote these letters of endorsement for him, which I found strange to begin with. Like, why would these celebrities put their necks on the line to defend a guy who, you know, it wasn't like some director. I don't know. It's strange stuff. So Ariana basically got put on by Nickelodeon, right? And this is the path that we see many young stars get initiated through. Nickelodeon is, you know, no different than Disney in that these young child stars are subjected to something that results in a condition where there's various outbreaks of insanity and weirdness over the years. Like Ariana Grande licking the donuts at the donut shop, if you remember that one. But another example of what we're talking about would be Miley Cyrus, right? She was on Disney's Hannah Montana, child star. Then all of a sudden, within a couple of years, she's at the VMAs twerking on Robin Thicke, which was a big controversy at the time. But she was also pushing crazy music videos with tons of symbolism packed in. Like, she had the X and O mark of the Antichrist symbolism over her eyes. I was covering her pretty intensely during the blogging days as well. In fact, Miley Cyrus went on record to say that she wants to lure Ariana down this path towards the abyss. And this is on Perez Hilton. Here's what Miley said, quote, "I don't have a bunch of celeb friends because I feel like some of them are a little scared of the association. I was backstage with Ariana Grande. I'm like, walk out with me right now and get this picture, and this will be the best thing that happens to you, because just you associating with me makes you a little less sweet. She's trying. I see her wearing the shorter things. She comes in and she goes, this made me feel like you. And I'm like, that was like my sixth grade prom dress." And a lot of conspiracy people, they get into this sort of culture war element of this, where they'll be like, oh, they're pushing whorish behavior on the kids. They want girls to be this, that, and the other. And I'm not denying that there's not a component to that. For me personally, I don't find the sexual stuff doesn't bother me. But what does bother me is that when it's like underage girls, like, I'm like, yo, why are you telling this like underage girl to like show a little bit more skin? Like, that's sketchy, right? Where do they get these ideas from? Where do you think they get these ideas from? So some theorists claim that these stars get subjected to adult-like behaviors, abuses, so on. That's what the Quiet on Set documentary was all about. But you could also argue that they get subjected to mind control experiments, like the CIA's MKUltra. Particularly, there's a sub-program called Project Monarch, which you see a lot of these, you know, Ariana and a lot of these young stars, they show a lot of symbolism with butterflies. But for me, it's like, I don't know. It's hard to know because, like, yeah, little girls like butterflies. What are you going to do about that, right? But I'm more interested in some of the real behaviors that these young artists show that could indicate that they were a victim of such mind control programming, right? And when you see a lot of the Rihanna butterflies and so on, and a lot of these other symbols that we'll talk about later on, it's arguable that these were placed there and planted into their works as a way of their handlers sort of telling others in the know that they've been subjected to this sort of thing. With the butterfly in particular, it's supposed to show the idea of a metamorphosis, of change. And this comes from Fritz Springmeier's book, The Illuminati Formula Used to Create an Undetectable Total Mind Control Slave. I'll read you a brief segment from it. The monarch butterfly learns where it was born and it passes this knowledge via genetics onto its offsprings from generation to generation. This is one of the key animals that tips scientists off, that knowledge can be passed genetically. The Monarch program is based upon Illuminati and Nazi goals to create a master race, in part through genetics. If knowledge can be passed genetically, then it's important that parents be found that can pass the correct knowledge onto those victims selected for Monarch mind control. The primary important factor for the trauma-based mind control is the ability to disassociate. It was discovered that this ability is passed genetically from generation to generation. American Indian tribes who had traumatic ritual dances and who would wait motionless for hours when hunting, children of fakirs in India who would sleep on a bed of nails or walk on hot coals, children of yogis, those skilled in yoga that would have control over their body, Tibetan Buddhists, children of voodoo, Bizongo, and other groups have a good ability to disassociate. The children of multi-generational abuse are also good at disassociation. The Illuminati families and European occultists went to India and Tibet to study occultism and Eastern philosophy. These Europeans learned yoga, tantric yoga, meditations, trances, and other methods to disassociate. These skills are passed on to their children via genetics. A test is run when the children are about 18 months old to determine if they can disassociate enough to be selected for programming or not. So it's arguable that the, you know, if Joan is involved with the military-industrial complex, Joan could be involved with the CIA, and maybe they learn these things. Who knows, right? But that's the foundation of this claim and this theory of the Project Monarch stuff. Now, part of the mind control programming is also the kitten programming or beta programming. And we see this kind of behavior from Ariana Grande. She was in Love Me Harder, she's wearing the kitten ears, right? And she was seen with the kitten ears a bunch. And you'll see in the video, doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason for those being there. Like, why are we pushing this kitten programming stuff? Another example would be there was a video when she was young of her and Liz Gillies, and they're running around the house. They're acting possessed or something. And at a certain point in the video, it appears like they're trying to pull their teeth out, which is strange because the Margot Kidder did this in real life. She's the actress that played Lois Lane in the original Superman movies. She was also in Amityville Horror. But some theorists claim that Margot Kidder, there's a theory going around for a while that she, because she literally pulled her teeth out, she had a mental break. And some people claim that she did this so she could avoid the aliens, right? And in The Guardian, they explain what happened to Margot Kidder, and it says it as this. Paranoid, convinced her first husband was going to take her out, she ran away and lived rough. To avoid being recognized, she hacked her hair off and pulled out some teeth to alter her dental records. Homeless, confused, she acquired a stalker and narrowly avoided an attack. She was found shivering under a family's porch near the studios where Superman was shot. Ironically, right? Police intervention saved her and she got back on track. So there seems to be something involved there too. That's very strange behavior, right? Then in 2018, at Aretha Franklin's funeral, Ariana Grande performed, and if you recall, Bill Clinton was in attendance. Bill Clinton, a star in the Epstein files, and people thought Bill was enjoying himself a little too much watching this young girl, right? And now that people always knew about the Epstein connection, it's like extra creepy, right? And this ties into the MK Ultra theories about the programmed kitten or the presidential diamond programming, right? It's about these girls being used by the elites, just like the Epstein files. Kathy O'Brien describes it in her book Transformation of America. But lots of strange stuff here, right? And in February, just recently, in 2025, Ariana Grande was doing a public speaking thing on the Smart Less podcast. She was publicly speaking about her own memory loss, right? She says, I'm missing a couple of years. I'm super serious from that time. I'm literally missing a few years, referring to when she was first became famous, right? She says she doesn't remember it. She says she has a literal memory loss. Could it be that she disassociated? Could it be that she was going through some kind of traumatic abuse at this time frame? Then the next month in March 2025, she released a music video called Brighter Days Ahead, which I covered on a Substack post, and it echoes a lot of these ideas and symbolism of the MKUltra style mind control programming, specifically memory erasing, which again, that's what Ariana was saying was happening to her, and she's showing us in the music videos. And it's very, she lays it out in the same way that you saw with Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, starring Jim Carrey, who's got his own host of conspiracies. We're going to do a deep dive on him someday here. I got it on my to-do list. And then it was further reinforced on a multi-song video that she released called Eternal Sunshine, right? There's no, it's obviously a reference to that, which is all about erasing someone's memory, literal mind control programming. And in the music video, she shows, you see the black and white checkered pattern floor of the Freemasons. You see a UFO abduction and possession and all kinds of stuff, right? And the occult symbolism is supporting MKUltra style experiments because Dr. Jolly West was working on, guess what? Mind disassociation, right? He was the one working on the creation of alters with Subproject 43. And, you know, and when they talked about the occult, when Fritz Pringmeyer talked about the people who do this stuff, study the occult, they were doing this with MKUltra. It's a sub-program called MKOften. Stay subscribed to my channels. I'm doing an MKUltra deep dive someday. I keep buying new books. I don't know. I keep trying to learn more. It's a massive topic. I'm going to do my best, though. It's probably going to be 3 or 4, maybe even 5 episodes. It's a lot of notes so far. But there's a connection with the occult, is what I'm saying. And if you want to learn more about the Ariana Grande Brighter Days Ahead symbolism, go to IlluminatiWatcher.substack.com. I did a full article on there. Then we talked about the occult a bunch, right? Well, there's one system in the occult. One of the core systems of the occult is Kabbalah, all right? When you talk about the occult, there's a lot of studies you've got to understand to see where these thoughts come from. Hermeticism, mysticism, alchemy, and Kabbalah. They're all in this little camp. And, you know, Rosicrucianism even. But Kabbalah specifically, there's many flavors of Kabbalah. But the generalized idea of what Kabbalah is the blue and whites. It's a blue and white mysticism that believes in this force of evil that was a remnant of the universe that existed before ours. And there's a primal form of cosmos with unbalanced forces. So their idea is they want to balance those things out. This is, again, the opposing polarities, the black and white checkered floor on Ariana's videos. You know, the black and white coming together. It's goat with the bobs, right? We're goatins with the bobs. And from here, you get various flavors of Gnosticism and Freemasonry. But the idea is that salvation comes about when the practitioners rise above the material world by utilizing occult practices to make contact with the divine. And that's my thesis here, is that Ariana Grande's role in the big system is to push the occult practices. So in Kabbalah, they use a tree of life, the Kabbalistic tree of life. It's a diagram that maps out the path that these initiates need to understand to make contact with the gods. Another symbol they use is the red string bracelet. The red string bracelet is a talisman. It goes back to the blue and white's tradition of warding off evil, kind of like in the Greek culture about they wear an eye. It's intended to be a good luck amulet to ward off the evil eye. And this comes from the Torah, the book of Genesis, when Judah impregnates his daughter-in-law with twins, and the woman, Tamar, she is a midwife, and the midwife, the story is crazy. The midwife puts the red string bracelet on one of the twins, because one of the twins busts his little arm out of the womb. The midwife ties a little red string on that hand, on that wrist, and then that one's the second to be born. Strange stuff, right? And this whole practice was put into celebrity culture through the Philip Berg Kabbalah Center, where celebs go for their Kabbalistic needs. And you see lots of celebrities wearing this red string bracelet once you know what you're looking for, right? My Kabbalah queen, Madonna, wears one. Michael Jackson did. Leo DiCaprio supposedly wore one. Tucker Carlson wears one. Tucker Carlson, on an interview he did about the Dark Enlightenment stuff, which I found fascinating. I'll probably do a show about that too, since I'm an early exposer of the Dark Enlightenment. Tucker said on that interview that, no, it's not a red string Kabbalah bracelet. It's a rubber band. It's a rubber band. It means nothing. Okay, Tucker. Because Tucker's daddy was in the CIA, wasn't he? It's Intel or something. Anyway, I'm not talking trash about Tucker. I don't know enough about the guy. I don't listen to him. I hear some things I like. I hear some things I don't like. You know. Anyway, the Greeks, they wear the evil eye and the same way that in Kabbalah they wear the red stringer's bracelet. That's all a way of warding off evil. So that sounds all right, right? And it's a form of apotropaic magic, which means in Greek to ward off. And it's basically a good luck charm, right? So that's what the red string bracelet is. It's a good luck charm. It's like knocking on wood. And the Eye of Horus was also one of these forms of amulets for protection. Now, fun fact, the ancient Greeks also used to dress boys as girls to avert the evil eye. Frankie Grande, a boy that dresses like a girl. Why are these kids so worried about evil? Why are they trying to ward off evil? And this is like the theory you hear about with when you see rockers that are using satanic imagery and stuff or dark topics wearing the cross, like Ozzy Osbourne, right? The Prince of Darkness himself wore a cross, and they're talking about very dark subjects. Well, the idea is that the energies that they're dabbling in are dark. Therefore, they need some forces of light to keep them protected. So Ariana, she's been seen wearing these red string Kabbalah bracelets over the years, right? In November 2013, she told us she switched from Catholicism to Kabbalah. She said she did this because the Pope told her that everything she loved was wrong. I'm going to read you from Metro website. I was born Roman Catholic, but I lost faith when the Pope decided to tell me everything I loved and believed in was wrong. She added that she started losing her faith when the Vatican apparently started criticizing her favorite cartoons. The church said SpongeBob SquarePants is gay and he's a sinner and he should burn in hell. I didn't know that the Pope said that. That's pretty wild. And Harry Potter was a sin. And working women. I was like, enough. First the gays, then SpongeBob, and now Harry Potter. Get out of my house. I was not having it. And the working woman thing, it was a moment for me. I needed something else to believe in. The Star says following Madge's lead, Madge is Madonna, that's her Kabbalah name. The Star says following Madge's lead has given her a winning approach to life. It's the practice of being a good person and how that will manifest good things in your life. People don't really realize that if you are kind, you can make all sorts of things happen for you. So the Madge, of course, means that she was messing around with Madonna. And she was chummy with Madonna. And there was a 2015 interview with V Magazine. And Ryan Murphy addressed this exact topic. I'm going to read you the dialogue that he had. Ryan says, well, I can't wait until people find out about the movie stuff you and I have been putting together. That's going to be announced. Ariana replied, I know, me neither. We should make subliminal Madonna references throughout the film. I love Madonna. I met her a few times and she was so overwhelmingly kind and sweet and down to earth and motherly. She's very maternal. I practice Kabbalah as well, so that was one of the first things she mentioned because I had my Zohar in my pocket. She may have noticed, maybe not, but she brought it up and we danced together at her Oscar party. That's all I could ever ask for. She inspires me endlessly. I'm so inspired by her fearlessness. Like, this is me, and if you don't like it, go F yourself. That's so cool, you know? So, what else does she have that's Kabbalistic? Well, she's got a tattoo of it. She has a tattoo called the 72 Names of God. Her and her brother Frankie got these tattoos that support their belief in Kabbalah. Here's what Frankie said about it on Twitter. My finger tat is the 72 Names of God I meditated on during Billboard 16 comps, and since it worked so well, I got it. Hashtag Kabbalah. She's referring to the Shem Hamphorash, which was used in ritual magic for the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, one of many Aleister Crowley influenced magical orders. And if you go to a September 2014 issue of Rolling Stone, there's a Q&A article with Ariana where they broach the subject of demons and occult beliefs. And this is how it went down. Rolling Stone says, everyone is fascinated by your accounts of seeing real-life demons, most recently at a haunted castle in Kansas City. Ariana says, oh my God. Here, I should do the voice. Oh my God, all anybody wants to talk about is demons with me. I am a demon and I practice Kabbalah and I'm a vegan. That's what people think. They're like, this girl is cray. And I haven't really seen anything in a long time. Rolling Stone says, maybe the VMAs will alert the demons and they will be back. Ariana laughs. The pop music demons? What are you even talking about? She was also on a... My notes are... I'm still trying to learn how to do this teleprompter thing. Sorry, guys. She talks very openly about this while also dismissing these ideas, which is crazy because you obviously believe in a spiritual realm. So to imply that demons don't exist or something is kind of crazy to me, especially when you're talking about magic. You're talking about actually making contact with entities that we don't have the discernment to know if they are angels or demons. She was also on an Australian talk show and they asked her about the same subject and she replied that her whole family is into this dark stuff. All right. So you can see how there's a lot of occult influences and to go back to what the Pope said, and the Pope was like, I guess he said the SpongeBob SquarePants was gay. I didn't know that. And Harry Potter is evil. Well, I don't know if Harry Potter is evil, but I do know Harry Potter is occult activity, right? It's influenced an entire generation to get a bunch of Philosopher's Stone Freemason tattoos. J.K. Rowling has the Go with the Bobs tattoos on her arm. I mean, I don't know how it can't get more occult than that. And the Christians do believe that the occult practices are not good. It says it in the Bible. So, I mean, it's up to you what you want to do with that, right? Like, I don't judge people. You want to get into this stuff? I don't care. But if you want to be a Christian, like, it's kind of in the books as not to do this stuff. And look, I'm fascinated by it, too. I consume all this awful content and pop culture. I've also ghost hunted. I did a whole, me and my wife on Breaking Social Norms did a 2-hour ghost hunting episode just recently where we talked about our experience of making contact with entities. It's crazy stuff. It's fascinating, for sure. Anyhow, Break Free is a music video that she did where she's fighting aliens, and she is wearing the red string Kabbalah bracelet. You clearly see the Kabbalistic Tree of Life in the video. And the aliens also have this weird symbol that looks a lot like the Freemasonic compass and square. So to wrap this part up, yes, Ariana is 100% into Kabbalah. She's confessed it many times. There's no debating that subject. It's a fun fact, if you will. Now, she implied that she was messing around with demons and magic a little bit, right? So we got to unpack that some more. Because Kabbalah is associated with magic. It's not identically the same, but it's got these elements of contacting the divine through this practice on the Tree of Life, right? Because the Tree of Life is basically the 10 sephirots, the emanations of God, and it uses gematria, like the 72 names of gods, angels. It's based on mysticism and the mystical. But there's, like I said, there's multiple flavors of Kabbalah. You've got the blue and white Kabbalah, which is more based on their religion. But then there's an occult hermetic Kabbalah. There's even a Christian Kabbalah, which goes to the Middle Ages and John Dee and Renaissance magic. But hermetic Kabbalah, that's the occult one that uses, well, more occulted than the others, I would argue. And it uses alchemy, tarot, astrology, and it's part of the Western ceremonial or high magic system. And I wrote an article in November 2013 where Ariana Grande talks about demons in an interview with Complex Magazine. And you'll see her rise from childhood star to her dabbling in the dark arts. And she talked about this supernatural thing, right? And here's some significant things I thought worthy to pull out of the interview. Because to me, it's very much that they're trying to normalize a lot of these occult ancient New Age practices through the entertainment industry, through Harry Potter, right? They get children to perform literal magic spells. There was a show called Tree Tom Foo that was having the kids stand in front of the TV and do these sort of, martial arts, kintanas? It doesn't matter. Doing magical things, right? And they're, yeah. And this is in, you know, I grew up with watching Masters of the Universe and all this stuff that's very magical centered, right? So here's the interview. Complex says, "You're obsessed with Harry Potter." Ariana says, "I'm a big nerd. I love Lord of the Rings. I love Harry Potter. I love scary movies. I love dinosaurs, science, aliens, ghosts. Not so weird, I suppose." But then the interviewer asks her if she's seen aliens, and she starts talking about demons, which is, tying into this whole theory. Complex says, "Have you ever seen an alien?" Ariana says, "Not an alien, but I've had a ghost demon experience. We were in Kansas City a few weeks ago." Here's this Kansas City castle thing. "And we went to this haunted castle and we're so excited. The next night we went to go to Stahl Cemetery, which is known as one of the seven gates to hell on earth. The Pope won't fly over it. I felt this sick, overwhelming feeling of negativity over the whole car, and we smelled sulfur, which is the sign of a demon. And there was a fly in the car randomly, which is another sign of a demon. I was like, this is scary. Let's leave. I rolled down the window before we left and said, 'We apologize. We didn't mean to disrupt your peace.' Then I took a picture, and there are three super distinct faces in the picture. They're faces of textbook demons." Complex asked to see the picture. Ariana says, "I deleted it. The next day, I tried to send the picture to my manager, and it said, 'This file can't be sent. It's 666 megabytes. I'm not kidding. I used to have a folder called Demons that had pictures with all the screen caps in it. But then weird things started happening to me, so I deleted it. I was going to sleep about 2 weeks ago. I had just got off the phone, and as soon as I closed my eyes, I heard this really loud rumble right by my head. When I opened my eyes, it stopped immediately, but when I closed my eyes, it started again with whispers. Every time I closed my eyes, I started seeing those really disturbing images with red shapes. Then I opened my eyes and got back on the phone and was like, 'I'm really scared and I don't want to go to bed tonight.' Then I scooched over to the left side of my bed because that's where the best service is in my room, and there was this massive black matter. I don't know what it was. It was like a cloud of something black right next to me. I started crying. I was on the phone like, 'What do I do? What do I do?' And they said, 'Tell it to F off.' I thought, 'I'm not going to do that. It's going to get upset. So I'm just going to chill and not feed into it because all it wants is fear. It feeds on fear. I watched it move to the front of my bed. Then I fell asleep on the phone. I woke up and it was gone. The next night, my friend Tyler was staying with me. She said she was trying to sleep and her body felt paralyzed, and she described the same exact thing that I saw." Then Complex abruptly moves and says, and look, by the way, let's point out the irony here. She moves from Catholicism to Kabbalah because the Pope told her Harry Potter was going to get her into the occult stuff, which was specifically Kabbalah. She talks about how much she loves Harry Potter. She starts dabbling in the occult with Kabbalah. She starts dabbling in the occult, going to haunted, cursed grounds. Then she has this scary experience that's making her cry and paralyzed in her sleep. And then I guess she doesn't put the pieces together, like, oh, that's why the Pope told me not to do this. Okay, Ariana, you got it. Let's rub those two brain cells together for once, all right? And that's why I look at this thing and I say, look, man, you want to mess with ghosts and all this alien stuff? Like, I don't care. I think it's fascinating too. I also was dabbling with this stuff. But I also stopped doing it because I immediately said, oh man, this stuff is real. And I don't want any of this weird dark energy near me. But she apparently didn't learn that lesson. I don't know. Because worse things happen, which we'll talk about next. But Complex Magazine, they shift gears. Of course, why not? They say, what do you think of the transition Miley Cyrus is going through? Because again, this is during the sort of let's twerk on old Robin Thicke after Hannah Montana. Ariana says, if it's not your taste, don't look at it. I get so hyped up about the Miley thing because I think she's cool. Complex says, but it is a drastic transformation. Ariana says, sure, as long as she's happy, though. So speaking of Illuminate confirming, let's talk about the Illuminati symbolism of, you know, Ariana Grande's. We need to understand why it matters first. So first, we're going to look at a book called Symbols of the Goddess by Claire Gibson, where she talks about an example of early Greek and Roman psychiatry, early, you know, psychoanalysts, with sessions where clients were drawing trees and mandala circles. And these universal symbols represent the tree of life. And Carl Jung, attributed it to a genetic mental blueprint. And then he made this theory of the collective unconscious that defines universal archetypes for symbols. And he thought there was three sort of areas of the mind, the conscious, the personal unconscious, and the collective unconscious. And this collective unconscious is this universal one. That's the one that symbolism speaks through, where we all see a symbol and we understand it on a subconscious level. And then these ideas, they manifest through, you know, all these symbols that we see of triangles and horns and all-seeing eyes, right? And Carl Jung thought that the symbols like the moon and the sun, which are opposing polarities, or they're goat with the bobs, these are subconsciously understood by us as the dual principles like mother, father, masculine, feminine, warrior, princess, god and goddess, and so on. Carl Jung described it as an attempt to explain the reasons behind the creation and future direction of both the cosmos and humanity. So, does Ariana Grande, has she ever pushed any of these symbols? Oh, of course she has. There's so many symbols. We had the all-seeing eye photos, of course, with the, you know, you could argue the symbolism of the Eye of Horus, the Aeon of Horus, which is very much her, right? Aleister Crowley talked about the Aeon of Horus being the age of the crowned conquering child, and she is that, right? She was a crowned conquering child. She was very famous and powerful before she was an adult. I'll see if I can find these images and I'll put them up on the video. I got to look through the archives of my old blog photos that I didn't catalog very well. Pentagram over the eye. Pentagram, of course, the symbol of magic. In the Bang Bang video, she had the all-seeing eye. At the 2016 AMA, she did a 666 hand gesture thing, right? 2014, she did a song with Iggy Azalea called Problem. Whatever happened to Iggy Azalea? Where she's in a cage, was a symbolic of the birdcage, the MK Ultra enslavement of the mind, right? Creating the altar trapped in the cage. At the Billboard Music Award performance, she was on a stage with a bunch of all-seeing eyes. She wore the checkered dress, you know, very goat with the bobs. The video had dancers on the Masonic checkered floor. Goat with the bobs, right? She's done the Vow of Silence, which is the sign of Harpocrates, that the initiates will not divulge the secrets of the group, of the Illuminati. There's symbolism around events that we need to talk about, like the 2017 Manchester concert, right? The booming that happened there at the concert in Manchester. And this was on May 22nd, 2017. Her concert just wrapped up in Manchester, England, and these religious extremists boomed the concert and took the lives of 22 people and injured over 1,000. And the claim, the official claim that went around, was that it was a response to the U.S.'s intervention with the Syrian civil war, because this group was affiliated with all these extremist groups that claimed responsibility for the attack. But what's interesting is the numerology, of course, was odd. It happened on the 22nd at 22:31, right? 10:31. And it took the lives of 22. So you got the repeated master number of 22, right? Which, ironically, I just, on Breaking Social Norms podcast, we did an episode just this week, last week, about Sammy Hagar and his alien download. And he, it's the craziest story. He had an alien visitation. It downloaded some ideas into his brain. He goes into his chicken coop and finds a book on numerology and talks about the master number 22. Crazy stuff. I'll put a link in the show notes. You should check that episode out. It's pretty wild because he had a prophecy about the year 2025. This is in the 70s. And he wrote about it in his book that I read through for, on the show. Anyway, Ariana Grande. Back in 2014, there was a forum. I don't know if it's still there anymore, called Godlike Productions, that used to be great. And on this, on GLP, that there was a claim going around that she wished her fans would die, and she denied this. And I ran this through ChatGPT today. I was like, "Hey, dude, is this true?" Right? See if I could find any better sources. And it said this. It said, in 2014, a tabloid-style report alleged that after doing autographs and pics with fans during a radio station visit, Ariana supposedly said in the elevator, "I hope they all effing die." And what's strange is I clicked on the link that chat provided for this source, and it takes me to some Australian website that links to the real source, which came from the New York Daily News website. But when you click that link, it says, oops, that page can't be found. So that's pretty curious. A sanitized internet. That's what we're in for. So Drake had just performed a song called Galchester at the BBMAs the night prior to the Manchester incident. Galchester is a slang word in the West Indies for Manchester. And Drake did this at the Bellagio in Las Vegas inside of a giant circle, a magic circle, right? Ariana Grande obviously didn't like that this happened to her fans, and she would, a week later, do a tribute song for the victims on May 30th with a benefit concert called One Love Manchester. And as part of this, she released a charity single called Over the Rainbow. She's very charitable. Right? That's the one thing I a lot of conspiracy people, they hate these artists because they're like, ooh, they're pushing us down the Illuminati agenda. And I get that because I'm not saying they're not. I think it could be unbeknownst to them. Either way, like, I get how you're like, eh, I don't really like how where they're taking a lot of the stuff. But then I'm like, yeah, but they do a lot of more charitable works than some of these billionaire jerks, right? It's like Billie Eilish. I pick on her a bunch, but I'm like, yeah, but she called out a billionaire. So I like that better than a billionaire. Sorry. Like, who's more evil, right? The people that can actually cause real changes in our world because of the immense wealth that they'll never be able to spend? Or, you know, someone who says they want to watch Harry Potter? I don't know. It's all subjective, right? But she did a song called Over the Rainbow. And Kathy O'Brien talked specifically about this song in her book about MKUltra mind control programming. She said, the annual televising of Judy Garland's Wizard of Oz was celebrated as a grand holiday around my house. This was to prepare my mind for future base programming on the theme that I, like Dorothy, could spin into another dimension over the rainbow. After all, birds fly over the rainbow was a theme that became a part of my life. Again, birds, bird cages, again, tied into the MKUltra symbolism. The Over the Rainbow Scramble of Dreams versus Reality provides abusers a theme by which to manipulate the subconscious perception of switching personalities. Oftentimes, the theme is transdimensional, as is Oz, or that which was just experienced was just a bad dream, like Dorothy was told upon her awakening in her own bed back in Kansas. Now, this opens an incredible floodgate of ideas, right? The Wizard of Oz, Over the Rainbow. Over the Rainbow is supposed to be a song that the MKUltra handlers play while they're trying to force a dissociation on their victim to go into their alter mind, go into the birdcage mind. The movie Eyes Wide Shut, which I've done many, many episodes on, wrote a book called Kubrick's Code about it. That proved to be one of the deepest dives into the world of conspiracy, and it has the Over the Rainbow costume shop. Again, it's very much tied into the idea of the Illuminati elites knowing the truth about some of these things. Now, in the last couple of years, I've completed a 55-episode deep dive into the world of Twin Peaks and David Lynch on my podcast called The Grey Lodge. And in it, we explore David Lynch and his obsession with The Wizard of Oz. And it's arguable that because he uses the symbolism many times in Twin Peaks, and it could be a way of, I don't know if disassociating, but transferring the consciousness of the viewer into this new world, which explains why it does feel like, when you watch Twin Peaks, when you get into it, you're like, you really do feel like it's another world that you're like living in when you watch it. It's fascinating. Fascinating. It also ties into the world of Kenneth Anger, because Kenneth Anger was contracting with a band called the Magic Powerhouse of Oz, which was put together by Bobby Beausoleil from the Manson murders. And they composed the score to Kenneth Anger's movie, Lucifer Rising. Fun fact, an English TV producer named Richard Haw claimed that this whole thing was a hoax at Manchester, I should say. Let me zoom back out. At Manchester. And he claimed that nobody got injured. Nothing really happened. This is just like Alex said with the whole you know where thing with all the stuff at that school. And he said nothing happened. He ends up getting sued and he had to pay a sum of money to all these victims. I don't go that black pill myself personally. I'm like, I mean, is it possible? Sure, anything's possible. But yeah, the Manchester thing was in 2017. Then in 2019, Ariana releases a video for Seven Rings, and it was full of sort of Saturn worship stuff. Like, it shows a purple haze in the video. The purple haze is the sheath from Saturn when during the supposed golden age, Earth was within the Saturn was the real sun, and it gave a purple haze. It was a great time, apparently. Or so they say. On the car's hood, there's a black sun image. This is, you know, the Saturn, the sun behind the sun, the hidden sun. And there's a symbolism of triangles and moons and twin pillars going up some stairs, which is the twin pillars of the Kabbalistic Tree of Life or the Freemasonic Lodges or Boaz and Yakin and Freemasonry. It goes on and on and on, right? And the song lyrics are about materialism and wealth, which is very Saturn-based, right? Saturn is the material realm. Which makes sense because Saturn is described as having seven rings. Caltech's website says specifically that there's four main groups of rings and three fainter, narrower ring groups. Then you've got Ariana's symbolism of witchcraft. In 2018, she released a video called God is a Woman. That's the one that got me in trouble with YouTube. And I talked about the many images of the occult feminine deities that are presented in this video. Persephone, Mother Gaia, the Druid Priestess, the Triple Goddess, or Hecate, which is interesting because Dion Fortune's Mystical Kabbalah book, which, you know, Kabbalah, Hecate is referenced as the goddess of witchcraft and enchantments, right? And there's also symbols of the lighthouse as a symbol of illumination, and Ariana is the lighthouse for humanity, tying us into the goddess of Isis in Egypt, which ties us into Manchester and the group that was claiming they did the thing. She also did a performance of this song at the 2018 MTV VMAs, which was the set was designed to look like the Last Supper of Christ. Recall the Aleister Crowley follower, Kenneth Arnold. No, not Kenneth Arnold. That's the UFO guy. Kenneth. Is it Kenneth Arnold? Oh, my gosh. I can't even think. Yeah, Kenneth Grant. That's the magician. Kenneth Anger. Oh, my God. Did I say Arnold earlier? I meant Kenneth Anger. Kenneth Anger, he was the guy that inspired MTV and music videos. So he's the godfather of MTV. So that makes sense that she would be on MTV pushing, you know, questionable symbolism. Then finally, she was in Wicked, right? Where she plays a literal witch. And again, I did a film analysis in December 2024. We unpacked a ton of stuff from, you know, the part one. And she was promoting it on a show called Zach Sang, where she talked about how she loves tarot and astrology, and she does tarot for her co-stars. She claimed to do a tarot reading for Jim Carrey, also tying us into Eternal Sunshine. And she says that she is the witchiest witch. Huh. And then SNL's Bowen Yang, who's also in Wicked, talked about the tarot readings and said that she was in her element, and he told her, you know, you should do this for a living. She was so good at it. And then Ariana is dating Ethan Slater, the guy who plays the woodsman, the munchkin, who loves Glinda the Witch, Ariana. And what's scandalous is that they allegedly started dating during the filming in 2023 when she was married to Dalton Gomez, and he was married to the woodsman guy, was married to his high school sweetheart, Lily J. She was pregnant too, I think, or had a new baby or something. And they both claim that, no, they waited till they're separated from their respectives to get into this. So there's this whole thing with Wicked of, like, all of this controversy. Then you've got this new stuff where they're promoting Wicked 2, Ariana and Cynthia, whatever her last name is, that plays the other witch. And they both look very thin, we'll say, right? They look not good, like possibly sick. And Ariana talked about how she had eating disorders in the past, so I want to be sensitive to that, but some people are going unhinged with this stuff. They're claiming, oh, they're worshiping the devil, and because the Cynthia Erivo, I think her name is, she does look straight evil in some things. I'm like, damn, that's scary looking. And another theory is that Ariana wants to portray herself as frail and weak because she wants to avoid scrutiny over this alleged affair of home wrecking with Ethan. Crazy stuff going on. Ariana also is alleged to be method acting as Glinda to the point that she has now altered herself into Glinda, right? Kind of like with Homeboy that played Elvis and couldn't shake the accent. But Ariana and Cynthia, they've been going on press tours and interviews and supposedly staying in character or method acting or method dressing of at least wearing the clothes. But again, this could also be tied into the MK Ultra idea of them taking on new alters. And they're acting very strange. They're constantly crying and acting bizarre with one another and overly protective of each other. And in the SAG-AFTRA, Ariana said that her and Cynthia made a pact to take care of each other. As like they were comparing their contracts to make sure they had, you know, appropriate pay. But there's lots of crazy stuff found in the film. When I did my film analysis, again, I'll put the link in the show notes, December 2024. Nathan Crowley, Aleister Crowley's relative, was a production designer on the movie. There's stuff from that I saw with Helena Blavatsky's Theosophy, Freemasonry, Alchemy, the more Kabbalah stuff in there, Go with the Bobs, and the actual Lesser Key of Solomon. There's a literal magical text in the movie. It's crazy. It's crazy. So check out that full episode as well. And if you're into Wizard of Oz, I did four episodes about Wizard of Oz, right? From in February to June of 2023 on the podcast feed. Scroll back. It might be on my YouTube too. I might have uploaded those. You can check that as well if you want. We talked about Wizard of Oz through the book, the movie, and Return to Oz. It was like a four-episode series that we did. So there's a ton more you can unpack from here, all right? There's many symbolism and themes of the occult and magic and Kabbalah swirling around all of these topics. So in conclusion, let's wrap this up. I don't know much about Ariana Grande, but I do know something ain't right. Something ain't right. I believe she's a victim of some level of abuse, and that saddens me because she's very talented. Reddit posted some blind items. So, I mean, it's rumors on the internet. Take that for what it's worth. And one is that she found proclivities to illicit substances when she was dating Pete David. So that's one option. Could it be that? But the bigger question is, if it is that, why is she doing this? Is it to deal with some kind of abuse or trauma from her past, possibly with Nickelodeon? And that post also alleges that she hooked up with Jimmy Fallon, The Weeknd, and even Jim Carrey. And also alleged she was, in fact, messed with by that Nickelodeon guy, which, you know, maybe that's why she wasn't on the Quiet on Set documentary. We also didn't address Mac Miller, the rapper who died from an accidental drug overdose very young in 2018. And this was right after Ariana was dating Mac Miller for like 2 years. And supposedly they split up. And then within a month or two, Mac Miller dies from this overdose. And she left Mac Miller for Pete Davidson, by the way. And she allegedly said that the first time she met Pete, she knew that she was going to marry him. All right. But the timeline of when she said that was when she was dating Mac Miller. She said this when she was doing her SNL appearance in 2014. She told her manager, "I'm marrying him 100%. I'm literally marrying him." And she claims she was joking. But she was dating, she was dating Big Sean back then. But then right after was dating Mac Miller. Then left Mac Miller for Pete Davidson in 2018. Her whole dating history is a hot mess, right? She dated, in 2012, she was dating this singer named Jai Brooks, who claimed she cheated on him with a musician named Nathan Sykes. Then she dated Big Sean. Then she dated this backup dancer, Ricky Alvarez. Then she dated Mac Miller. Then he dies in September 2018, just a couple months after they broke up. Then she dates another singer named Mikey Foster in 2019. Then a realtor named Dalton Gomez in 2020, whom she ends up getting married to until they divorced in September 2023 because she started dating this actor, Ethan Slater, who was in Wicked with her. There's controversy with all these things, right? Controversy and claims and rumor, nasty rumors and nastiness. But for me, the incriminating elements of Ariana Grande, this is what I boil it down to if you're talking about, are we illuminating, confirming her or not? A, she is part of this formula of these childhood stars being groomed in the industry and how real abuse can happen emotionally, physically. We saw this on the Quiet on Set documentary. Proven. Two, you have the occult elements of her Kabbalah influence mixed with interest in the paranormal. C, finally, you have a lot of MKUltra type symbolism and activities about her talking about losing her memory. So you've got symbolism of all these things combined with real world examples that suggest she just may be Illuminate confirmed. But like I always say, don't immediately rush to judgment that she's worshiping the devil or something like that. She may be a victim in all this, sir. So even if you want to still take on the Christian warrior hat, then you got to do as Christ does. You have to find sympathy in your heart for her, all right? So there you go. That's my analysis. Look, if you watch this on YouTube and you already subscribed, thank you. I had tons of you been signing up for my YouTube subscribing. Thank you so much. If you haven't yet, it's youtube.com/@occultsymbolism. Links in my link tree. If you go to allmylinks.com/IsaacW, you'll see the link if you can't find it, if they've shadow banned me by now. And what else kind of grift on you guys? Oh, go get the world's smoothest mushroom infused coffee at my new Grifter Alley store. Sign books, super soft shirts, and the Mushroominati Watcher coffee at occultsymbolism.com. All right. Till next time, stay positive.